Just stay up there. I love you. And what I'm going to ask the ushers to do, go ahead and just pass the buckets. You guys know how we do it. If you guys plan to give, give now. It's not something that just happens automatically, but there's a price to pay. And this word restore, Eric, if you put that definition up for me. Don't worry about that. I know I threw you off, but you're okay. Bring back a previous right, practice, custom, or situation to reinstate. God says, I want to reinstate. If you're in thriving here and you're in middle school, you're dismissed, you can go out with Mr. Chris. To reinstate. That means to bring back what was there before. And for whatever reason, why you lost it, it doesn't matter. God said, I want to bring it back. And it could be through your own fault. It could be through the fault of someone else. God's not playing the blame game. All he's saying is that I want to bring restoration back into your life. Okay? And so you and yourself have to identify what that looks like for you. Drew, you can come on sit down out here, buddy. I love you. Just come on sit down on here. Drew, come sit out here. Yeah, come out here. I'm good. Thanks. You have to identify what that looks like for you. Because for some of us, we've been fighting the same things. We've been believing God for bigger things in our life, things that God has already promised us, that we not necessarily have not seen the fruition of that thing, but nevertheless, we're still believing God on a deeper level to bring into our life what we are asking him for because he has promised it to us. And that process can be difficult and it can be hard at times because the waiting game is hard and it's difficult because we ask God to bring something into our life. It doesn't come overnight. It comes through a process of dying to self and coming alive in him. So when you sing songs like "You Are Life, Alive in Me," you recognize and realize that if he is the life that's inside of you, anything that's dead cannot stay. And so he comes in to renovate what's happening on the inside of you, to push out what's not of him, till all that's left is faith. Because we sing great songs about faith and we declare great scriptures about faith and we sing, well, the just shall live by faith, but don't understand in reality what that actually looks like. You are actually living by faith in your life in order to eventually see what God has for you. Because I don't necessarily see it now, but I'm doing it by faith. It's one of the reasons why when we come into worship on Sunday morning that it takes people two or three songs to get in. Because they're having to get through their mindset of what they came in with and reach deep down and still believe that God is good in the middle of their circumstances, no matter what they're feeling or going through right now. Because if we're honest, we come in not necessarily feeling like God is good all the time. We're doing it by faith. And when we sing songs like, "I will build my life upon your love," it jumps up at me because we realize that, wait a minute, he is what we're building our life upon. It's not what's going on around me. It's not my circumstances. He is the firm foundation. And so when I begin to sing things like that, my spirit begins to come alive and my faith level rises so I can come in and you can sense a breakthrough when that takes place because the Spirit of God can come in and he matches your intensity of your faith and all of a sudden things begin to happen. And order changes. It doesn't have to be the same thing all the time. Because for most of us, we come in and we say, okay, I got four songs. She's going to do an announcement. And then he's going to get up and preach. And we're going to sing a song. Not today. Amen. Because the reality of it is that the Spirit of God wants to do a work. And if you box him in and say, well, you can only do it in this format, you have pushed his liberty out and what he wants to do. And it's a posture of your heart of how you want to receive. And so if you come in with arms crossed, dangling by the side and say, okay, Lord, reach me, that's not the attitude that he's looking for. What he's looking for you to do is come in and pull your pants up and then in worship begin to praise God no matter what's going on around you, no matter who's here, and saying, holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up while tears are falling down your eyes. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. All that stuff. You just keep singing it. And all of a sudden, as you're doing it, you're drawing closer to God. You're drawing closer to God. And God begins to come in, and you begin to see the reality of his holiness and how wonderful he actually is. And nothing else matters except you just saying, it's me and you. That's where God wants you to be. And he brings liberty. And before you know it, you're in a different place than when where you started. And you leave church saying, man, it was good, and God is still good because you met him today. I keep taking a step toward him. It doesn't matter what's happening next to me. If I could, I continue to walk through the wall here. Where are you leading? All right. Okay. We got to get off the thought process that says here and no further. Because God is so far outside your borders that you've missed what he wants to do in the deep and in the things that are unknown because you tried to regulate God and put him to your size and you don't even recognize and realize that God is not at your size. He is so out, he is so far above you. And when he calls you knowing that it's going to take you a little while to get to where he's calling you to go. But at least he's calling you to go there. And if he's calling you to go there, take a step and go there because he knows that there's something deeper that he wants to do in you. That song we sang Friday night where it said, take us further. That is a declaration of faith for people, but it's also a dangerous prayer. Because that means that he's going to take you deeper in him and to places that you don't recognize. But it's worth it. You have to say, is it worth it? It's worth it. If you want the same, then you stay the same. But you can't be in the presence of God and be around believers who want more and expect, well, I'm just gonna stay the same. Come on up here. Come on up, Toby. 2 years ago, she came to the gym and started working out. She will cry, just so you know. She started crying. Listen, here, this is not a funny story. This is the reality of what God does. Okay. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. So if you try to reason with God or try to figure out what God's doing, oftentimes you can't do it because they're ordered of God. Okay? So I don't believe God makes mistakes. God sends people into where they're at and where they need to be. And so a couple years ago, Toby came into a gym that we were working at. We were trainers there, and her life probably wasn't the best it needed to be, and she could say it wasn't. And so I just want you to share a little bit of what you shared in Team Rally today about that process and just give it back to me.
Okay, so when I first went to the gym, I didn't do gyms because gyms represented everything I avoided: commitment, accountability, hard things, sacrifice, work, hard work, pain. Let's just avoid all that and let's just stay like what Pastor Richie says, comfortable. But for whatever reason, I went. And I kept going, and if they saw raw, they saw cussing, they saw cursing, they saw a lot before I realized they were pastors. And once I learned they were pastors, that cleaned my mouth up a little bit, a little bit. It wasn't as loud. About 6-9 months into the process, we changed gyms. this gym is hotter, there's no airflow. Sometimes the doors weren't open and it's a CrossFit type of atmosphere, so you're gonna sweat, which is what it's for. And we had this ridiculous, insane, from the pit workout. And it was like 175, 25, whatever. It was horrible. And they were always intimidating to me. And it's like, I'm not going to get through this. Richie's always like, just do half, Toby. Just do your best. So I'm in this exercise. And all of a sudden, I deal with asthma. So I always have my inhaler on me. And I don't know. I think I got through the first round. And then I was doing some crazy exercise thing. And I just kept thinking, I can't breathe. There's no airflow, I need air. And it was, I didn't realize it then, but it was a panic attack. And of course, Richie's used to me crying and hollering and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, I just, it's like, he goes, five more. So I did five more. And I ran to the opening. And I just needed air. And I went down into a squat just to catch my breath. And I had my inhaler, but it was like, and all this is happening in my mind, like a split second. And it's like, Lord, what is this about? Because I didn't even use my inhaler to catch my breath. And right then, I knew it was anxiety. And I don't normally deal with anxiety. And it's like, Lord, what is this? You know, I got this stupid workout I need to finish. And he brought to my mind a time when I was 8. My best friend's older brother molested me, and I was trapped, and I couldn't get air, and I couldn't get to the door, and I'm 52 years old, and it's like, why are we dealing with this? I've already dealt with this, Lord. You've already gone through this. You know, I had counseling, and I've had deliverance, and I'm... Pastor Richie knows nothing. He's like standing over me. Are you okay? Can you breathe? You know, he has no idea this is going on in my head and or what I'm dealing with. And so I got back up because I thought if I don't go back in that gym, I will never go. I will stay right. I will stay stuck. So I got up and I went back in. I think by this time we're on the row machines and it's like, okay, I can do this and catch my breath. And right then and there, the Lord just said, yeah, we've dealt with this. You've been to counseling. You've had deliverance, but you haven't forgiven him. And that's when I knew right then and there that this exercise stuff was more than just physical. It got real that day. And I think I even shared a little bit with you that day, like, just some childhood stuff coming up. But it was serious, and so I just finished the day as best as I could, and from then on, I looked at my physical working out with y'all as totally something different. It became spiritual.
Became a spiritual. So listen, the reason why I had her share this is this, because the spiritual component is weaved in into every area of your life, whether you realize it or not. You are a spirit being who has a soul who is clothed in flesh. And so primarily, your access to God is spirit to spirit. That, as a Christian, that's where you commune with him. And the enemy comes in and tries to attack the mind, though, the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. And so if he can come in and get a foothold in your soul, and then what it does is it affects the direct line of communication that you have with him spirit to spirit, and then you have a hard time beginning to understand things like, well, God loves me unconditionally, or God has a plan for my life, because something has got in and taken the place of the truth. But the truth will set you free. Here's the deal, okay? For her, 40 years later. 40. Because of the fact that we can get stuck in what happened and what was and never realize that I am missing out on the life flow that God wants to give me because of fill in the blank. And it took for her, that situation to break her open into the reality of what that is. That was hers. For you, be something else. But it did not come without her doing something that was hard for her, and then as a result, manifesting something that was spiritual. Because God asks us, when he asks you to do hard things, he says, I'm asking you to do hard things because inevitably, I have manifold wisdom that I know what I'm asking you to do, because it's going to cause other things to surface in your life that I want you to see and I want you to deal with. That's why I do it. I'm not asking you because it's going to be comfortable for you. I'm asking you because I want to reveal something to you about why you're that way, about why you have a fear of abandonment, about why you have a fear of rejection, about why, because of this. And if we don't reconcile what was into what is now, we will miss out on what God actually has for us and the blessing that is waiting for us now in a relationship with God, but also in the future with him, because we'll always wonder, does God have my best interest in mind? Sean, come up here real quick. Sean, you, I'm not going to ask you to speak. Just come on up here. Okay? Turn around real quick. Turn around. So, in front of me. So, this is how it works. I get saved. Jesus comes in, and he says, okay, no longer is it your life, but it's my life. And now I am living my life through you. And this is how it's going to work. You're going to hear a voice behind you that says, this is the way, walk in it. And so when we begin to walk, now remember, it's me leading you. You're not leading you. There are times in your life where you think, man, I feel like I'm leading myself. God is leading. He's leading. And so we'll begin to walk, Sean, just begin to walk. And you hear that voice behind you and say, okay, Sean, just turn left real quick. Just turn left. We're going to go that way. And if we're not careful, we can have a tendency to push back and say, I'm not going that way because that way looks dark. That way looks, stay here. That way looks, it looks traumatizing. It looks difficult. I cannot go that way because it's too painful for me to go down that road. I'm not going that way. I want to go this way where it's comfortable. And then, no. And so we push away from God and we say, no, I'm going to come back. I'm going to do my own thing. God says, nope. By my love, I'm bringing you back in. That's what my grace is. And we're going to continue to walk again. Okay, Sean, this is the way. Walk in it. No, I'm not doing it. I told you it's too painful. And God says, no, you have to face that. Because if you don't, it will rob you of the blessing that I want to bring into your life and show you the value that you actually have in me. And so you can begin to understand that I actually have a good plan for you. So we're going to go that way. That's what part of our church is about, doing hard things. And so when God says, no, we're going this way, guess what? We're going this way. And the news flash is God has the power to bend you where you need to go. You can sit. He'll bend it. And you think that you're leading. God said, you're not leading. I'm leading it. And so think about your life. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have no idea why I feel like I'm turning this way? But it's God by his spirit, because he says that I work in you in order to accomplish my will according to my good pleasure that I have. So I'm working according to my will in you. So when I cause you to act, I'm causing you to act for a reason. I give you the ability to worship me because that's who I am. I am worthy to be praised. You can glorify me in the midst of all your troubles and all your circumstances. I give you the ability to do that. That is a gift. I give you the grace you need for today and for tomorrow. But specifically, I give you the grace today so that you can walk through where I'm calling you to walk. We're not going necessarily on the yellow brick road. We're going off-roading together. We're going off-roading. We're going to go through some trees. We're going to go through some briar patches. We're going to go through some difficult things, some ponds that are dried up and muddy, some marshes. We're going to go through all that stuff, because in that process, I'm going to show you more of who I am. And eventually in that process, I'm going to produce in you such a genuineness and an honesty and an intensity and an intimacy that is going to be no doubt that you've been walking with me. But that is the only way that it's going to happen. It's not going to happen in the yellow brick road. It's not going to happen in the road most traveled. It's going to happen in the road less traveled. You want power? Here comes pressure. You want anointing? Here comes crushing. You want faith? Here comes a situation that you're going to have to speak into it and stand up against it and move into it in order for you to see it go down. That's how faith is produced. You want perseverance? You're going to have to keep getting back up when you get knocked down. Keep getting backed up and keep going up against it. Man, I didn't win it today. But guess what? Keep going again. The next day, keep going back up against it. Now it's going to come down. There are some thought patterns that you want to change. Okay, the next day situation comes up. I'm going to think about it differently today. You're going to keep going back up. It's like that wall on TV. What is it, American Ninja Warrior? You know the wall at the end? Like 8 people can get up. And finally, when that one person gets up, he's up by like the hand, and you're like, yeah, you did it. You're all excited about it. But it's like that. You're running up that wall in order to get it. But the more that you do it, the more endurance you're getting and the more will that you have in order to get up. Oh, I'm gonna get up today. And you get up. But you have to have, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to eventually get on top and see over it. God says, I don't lie to you. But there is a process I want to take you through in order for you to get there. And it makes no difference for you to get what I promised if you lose yourself in the midst of it. God has a masterful way of making us and the thing that he has promised us arrive at the same time. But he's going to take us all over the place sometimes. All over the place. Look back over some of the trips you've taken in the past of your life. Remember when the old Garmins were out and they used to talk to you like on the middle, like 10, 15 years ago? And they take you some off roads. You're like, you have no idea where you are. You have no idea what's going on. Take Interstate 7. You're like, I don't know where Interstate 7 is. You end up in a mountain, almost falling off the mountain. You have no idea. That's a true story. Anyway, so you look over your life, and there's different ways to get there. And look back. Your life has not been a straight shot from here to here. It has not been a straight shot. You've had to go backwards. You've had to go forwards. You're like a stick shift. You've had to grind gears. You've had to stay in neutral. God said there's all stuff going on. But eventually, God gets you to where you need to go because he's producing something in you. I'm not looking for you to understand it, he said. I am looking for you just to trust me in the process, because in the process, I'm bringing something out beautiful to you. My text today in 1 Samuel chapter 30, bring it up, Eric, for me. David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and the Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it. Next screen, my friend. And had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Think about this process in your mind. Verse 4, so David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. And then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. Abiathar brought it to him. The last screen, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? And this is what the Lord said. Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. David at this point was not in the Israelite camp. He was forced out because they wanted to kill him. And as fate would have it, he started serving with the Philistines. And you can, thank you, Micah, you can stop right now. He was serving with the Philistines and was victorious in his raiding efforts with them. God in his grace was still with him, even though he was not with his people. David had left because he had to leave, and God was still giving him victories, and by this time, he had amassed 600 men were with him. These were David's mighty men. And David was about to go out to war again, but the king of the Philistines said, hey, listen, you've been faithful to me. Since you got here, you've been like an angel. You can go back and read the manuscripts and what it looked like. But I can't have you go out with us because my commanders are fearful that you will turn on us. Because isn't this the guy they sang the song about? Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. You remember that guy, king? And he said, but this, he has done nothing wrong. And he said, nevertheless, he can't go out. So the king goes up to David and say, listen, next morning, take all your people and get out of here. I've got no fault in you, but you just got to go. This is all part of God's divine plan, sovereign plan, in order to get him moving eventually to Judah, where he would become king. So they send him back to Ziklag. This was the city that the Philistine king gave him so that he could settle down in. So they go back, and it's burned. The Amalekites had raided it, and you saw from the story that they are livid. The Bible says they speak about stoning him, but there's a key phrase in here that we have to adopt as Christians. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Found strength. And not only did he find strength, he went to the source and he asked the source, hey, listen, shall I pursue this? And so my question to you is this. What is God that's telling you to do? In your difficult times, in your hard times, what did he say? For David, it was pursue because you will recover all. This word pursue actually means chase or persecute. David, no, God said, you're going to get them. You're going to get it. You're going to get every one of them. Only 400 left, young men left on camels. That's it. Everyone else died. You don't read the Bible. You read the Bible like with these soft glasses on. You're like, well, God is so spiritual. He's so loving. Read the Old Testament. Read what God did. God said, listen, we're going to get rid of every one of them. I don't want any of them alive. Well, isn't God good? God is still good. I want everyone done. You see, what we do is sometimes we look at God and we say, well, God is so loving, and we take out the aspect of, well, there's also a price to be paid when it comes to sin, and there's also a responsibility that God has given us in our life. Listen, God knows how to love, but God knows also how, he knows how to chastise too. God knows how to make you feel good, but God also knows how to whoop you. Don't allow the enemy to make you think that God is some soft God who's sitting on the throne who has not defeated his enemies. And so David finds himself in a predicament, as most of us do in our life. We find ourselves in a predicament, and we have one or two choices. Either A, I'm going to go and let the circumstances dictate what they're telling me and cower in fear, or two, I'm going to ask God. Well, what did he say? That's when people ask me, hey, what do you think about this? My first response is this. Well, what did God tell you? Well, he told me to wait, or he told me to keep seeking him, or he goes, guess what? Keep doing the thing that God has told you to do. I'm telling you, in sports, if you ever watch sports, there's a thing that they call mercy rule. Mercy rule is this. Once we get to a certain point and score a certain amount of points and the other team does not do it, the game's over. Because in mercy of you not looking any worse than you are right now, we are stopping the game. Okay? That does not apply to the enemy. When you begin to think in your life, well, that's it. And let's just go a little bit deeper. Could it be that there are some things that have overtaken your life right now because you let up when you should have kept pressing on? And God said, I would have given it to you, and he would have overtook it. But because you started praying prevent defense and allowing them just to come down the field, they scored. And once they scored, the momentum changed. And after the momentum changed, guess what? You were no longer up by 40. Now you're up by 33. And then before you know it, you played the same defense again, and now it kept going down. Now you're only up by, do it with me, 26, 19. Keep going down. Because you didn't play with the same intensity or make adjustments to ensure the victory that you allowed them to come down and score. Do you know when you get a victory in your life, there are certain adjustments you have to make. You can't live like you're a loser anymore. God has blessed you financially in your life. You cannot go back to poor financial practices anymore and live like you did before. You now have a responsibility to live better, tithe consistently, because you know where it came from. Oh yeah, you do. When God blesses you with something, you now have a responsibility to cater it. Not to say that you haven't blown it. We all have. But what I'm saying is, when God redeems and brings things back into your life and slowly you begin to recover things, you have a new appreciation to, hold up, I am not going through that again in my life. Here's a safeguard. Now, I know what it is to be in lack. I like the plenty. I'm not just talking about money. I like the plenty in my emotions. I like the way my body feels physically. I like the way I am spirituality with God. I feel fuller than I've been. I want to guard that in my life. Because if I don't, I run the risk of going back. And who wants to go back to what was once you have what is? Isn't it better? And he says, the only way we're going to do this is that if you remain in me. And that is that one word I want you to leave with today. If you remain in me. John 15:5. That's what the scripture says. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He said nothing. He said, if you stay with me, you'll bear much fruit. And what we're talking about here is we're talking about things that have lasting, eternal value. Will bear fruit, things that last beyond this life, and you'll be happier, and you'll really begin to understand what real life is in your life. And so when you begin to see growth in your life physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially, you know where it's coming from. God says, that's why I want to give it to you. It's like this. Get the picture of a mother and a baby as she is actually feeding her baby through an umbilical cord as the baby's in the womb, correct? Okay. Now, when the baby comes out, eventually that changes. The umbilical cord is cut, and that baby begins to get weaned off certain things, and it grows and it develops. The kid never changes. As far as that being my kid, that's my kid. But he goes through evolution and process. But with God, that umbilical cord should never be cut. Because God said, that's your lifeline, me and you. So I am feeding you. So we've got to identify what is stopping up that flow. We got to identify it. The cord is there. As I remain in you, I'm in you right now. So what is stopping up the flow of life that's coming in? Why are you not feeling better physically? Why? Because I am life. Emotionally, why are you stuck? Why are you frustrated? What is it? What's going on right now? What's happening in your life? Spiritually, some things. You can't do it in your own strength anyway, so why are you trying? So, okay. All right, so all this stuff financially. What is all this stuff in your life right now? It's me and you. So what is getting in way of that umbilical cord so that that life can't be going through? It's like this. Most of us work out in here. There's a thing called lactic acid, okay? After you work out heavy, you can understand what this is. Most of you work out after a rigorous workout. What happens is lactic acid begins to build up in the muscle, and it's when the oxygen level is not where it needs to be in order to break down the glucose, okay? And what happens is, as a result, it begins to pool, and you feel sore, or they call it delayed onset muscle soreness. That'll happen sometimes 24 to 48 hours later, where 2 days later, you'll be like, man, I am so sore in my arm right now. You worked out really, really hard. really hard, but that lactic acid is still there a little bit. And sometimes what happens is you can feel burning that's in where it needs to be, but because it has to go somewhere. It has to be released. It can't just stay there because it affects the function of your arm and your body. And so it's the same way in your life. God says, you've been working for me, and I appreciate it. And you're doing great things for me, and I appreciate it. But there are things that have to be released in your body and released in your soul in order for us to keep moving where we want to move. Because if we're not careful, we can get so bound up with the work of God that we begin to miss out on the way that God wants to move through us in our life because we're so bound up. I brought a little illustration today, and I call this a jackhammer. This is not a gun. Okay? This is a Christmas present that my mother-in-law got for Christmas. And what it does is that when you turn it on, it has a little meter in the back with a number. And you put this on any area of your body that is sore. Okay? I need you to get this going for me real quick. It's not going. Okay? And so you put it on any body that is sore, any part of your body that is sore, and it begins to pelt that area to the point of where it's going. Until it breaks up anything that is there that is stuck. Now it's off. Okay. So what happens is, it's off, it's on. The enemy's just working. Get this. I'm not doing, get it done. Okay. Okay. I'm not letting him win today. Get it done. We're going over this announcement. I don't care. Distraction. We can all sit here and look at me. Okay. In my shirt for a minute. Are we going? Is it working now? Turn it up. Okay. Now it's off again. Lord Jesus. It's off. Okay. Okay. Linda. Okay. So, all right. So you heard what I was going to say. All right. So here's the deal. When this works, what it does is that when you put it on a muscle group and you just let it sit here, it breaks up the tightness that is there so you can feel loose and flexible and move again, okay? And it is necessary for you to do that after you work out or something that's rigorous because if I don't, I can get tight and then I start overcompensating in other areas of my body if this area is not the way it needs to be. You understand where I'm going with this, okay? And so for some of us, what happens in our life is that if we're not where we need to be spiritually, we start overcompensating and doing things that we shouldn't do, overreaching on identity, overreaching on promises, overreaching on I need to be accepted, overreaching on, well, I got to perform more, overreaching. And then what happens is we overextend ourselves and we can hyperextend ourselves to the point of where we really begin to lose the life of God in our life because of the fact that we don't understand where the true source really is. But it's because we're so stopped up and so tight that we don't allow God to get in there and move. God is already in you right now. He's already there. But if I were to ask us to come up here and let's test your flexibility, it'd be difficult for some of us to do some things. One of the other things that we do, hold this for me, please, is we do something called a wall sit. Is we sit like this parallel against the wall. Normally for like 30 seconds, or sometimes we'll do it for a minute, okay? Now, the more that you do this, the easier it gets. But the harder it gets when we start adding weight to it. We'll start adding weight and adding weight and adding weight until eventually we'll sit here with 4 or 5 45s just sitting here like this. Okay? And what it's doing is it's testing my stability and my ability for me to be able to handle the weight load that's there with the weight that's on there. Okay? Now, I can't just go ahead and do that and throw weights on me unless I've been tested and weighted correctly and that I'm able to handle weight. I'm going somewhere where there's just hold on for a minute. Okay? God wants us to get to the point in our life where we're so stable in our emotions, we're stable in our relationship with Him, that we can handle whatever life brings at us. Not only that, but we can handle the life that God wants to bring through us because there is a weight to life. You know that. I'll give you an example, okay? When a baby is born, average baby size, let's just say 7 pounds, 8 ounces. Let's just throw it out there. The baby eventually grows, okay? Average adult male, let's just say 180, 200, maybe a little bit higher. It does not matter. The life aspect does not change. The baby is still a life when it's born, and at 40, it's still a life, correct? What is the difference? The difference is the weight, okay? It's the weight. The life does not change. The value does not change. It's there. And so what God says is this. What I want to do with you is I want you to begin to understand that there are different levels of weight to life. Okay? Different levels. And at different stages, I want you to be able to handle more. Okay? And so I go to work in your life, not only physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially, so you can handle more. Okay? I can't necessarily pick up Sean Eckert and hold him, okay, for more than 10 seconds because I just can't do it. I can hold Lucito in the nursery for a couple minutes. The weight's different, okay? That's easy for me. It's not easy for me to do that with Sean Eckert because Sean Eckert is heavier than I am, lost a lot of weight, praise God, okay? And also at the same time, he's at a different stage of his life. Now, I have to in my life, and God says, get to the place of where I can handle more weight. A lot of us ask for things, and God says, I'm not going to give it to you because you can't handle the weight that comes along with it. Okay? You want to preach, but you can't handle the responsibility that comes along with doing it. Or you want success in your life on this level, but you can't handle the responsibility that comes along with that level of success. Let's start with here, being faithful at your job, Sea Dog, and then eventually I'll raise you up and you can handle more responsibility, okay? Because it's all weight. That's what God says, I've given you a different measure of grace for your life, okay? And then for you, it's different than from you. And so I'm doing something new. I just want you to handle more weight. And so it's twofold. I want the life of who I am to flow through you, but understand, I'm heavy, God said. And so unless I do the work in you first, you can't handle what I'm bringing to you. And secondly, know that life in itself gets heavier. And you got to understand that what I'm doing in you now is preparing you for later. So that when I keep throwing stuff on you, you might buckle, but you stand up. Because you learn what it meant to be able to stand in that season of your life under that amount of pressure and weight, and you develop the stability to be able to sit there. Now I can give you more. And the same thing, and that process continues to go on. And God says, okay, he's ready for more weight. Throw it on. Good. Isn't that what you do at the gym sometimes when you feel good? I'll throw another five on. I feel good. I just feel good today. And that's what God does. God says they look good. They smell good. Everything looks good. Give him another 10. Give him another. God just continues to do that. He's a good father. He knows how to do it. He knows what you can take. I'm not giving you Z all at once. We're going to start at A. And you'll progress through things quicker. If you learn it, you get it. You allow me to get in. And let me just say this. And create more room in you so you can hold it. Because it's a capacity issue. It's not that God doesn't want to give it to you, but he needs more access to you to create in you more capacity to hold. Philippians 4:19, it says, and my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. What he says is that my God will fill you up, supply what you need for your individual journey in your life. Individual. I'm going to supply what you need physically, emotionally, all that. I'm going to supply spiritually, financially. I am the supplier. But if I move away from the supplier, I miss out on the benefit. You know, most of the things that we get here in this room today, Craig, you can confirm this, are from a supplier somewhere. Somebody supplied the material to build the building so that we can add things in here. But when you really get down to it, somebody supplied not only the sweat equity, but also the money in order to create these chairs. Okay? So there's always a supplier. Always. Isn't that what makes movies interesting for you? You always go back, well, who's the main man? Who's the guy behind the scenes? And you finally see the guy in Ecuador with glasses on in a house somewhere with coquina leaves, okay, smoking a cigar somewhere. That's the guy. Okay, we got to get to this guy. And they're like, we got to take that guy out because that'll cut the supply off and they won't be able to go here. And all of a sudden, you know, And so the enemy tries to come in and cut the supply off between you and God so that you don't get what you need. So you start floundering all over the place. You don't know where you are. Emotionally, you're erratic. Your faith level is not where it needs to be because you don't understand how important it is for you to stay and remain in Him. Because in reality, He says, you can't do anything without me because your next breath is right here. Where have you drifted to? Stumbling all over the place like this. God says, I want to get you back. I want to restore back stability. You've been cut off from me. The enemy's come in. You've allowed him to. That's okay. I'm stronger. I'm bigger. But my grace will get you back to where you need to be, stable. And one of the ways that we learn stability is actually staying in a situation and being stable. One of the ways that my legs were developed in order to handle weight being put on that is by me sitting in that position, even though it might be uncomfortable, when it started to hurt after 30 seconds and 45 seconds. But I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to buckle. I'm not going to do it. And every time I said no, strength. I was teaching my body, say no. Because I'm trying to help you understand that you can handle more. God says the same thing. Anytime you start to get tempted to give in, I want you to say no. No. Because I want you to understand that you have the ability to handle more and train yourself to understand that your mind is stronger than what your emotions are telling you to do right now. And even more than that, that my spirit is stronger and give you the ability to handle what you can handle through right now. No, you can handle more. I can't handle it anymore. Yeah, you can. You can handle it. And here's what's the kicker. When you say that, God immediately comes in and says, I got you. Got you. Because God knows how much you can take and how much weight you can handle. But just so you know, that the more you're lifting and the more you're believing God for and the more you're trusting God for, all of a sudden you're building a foundation of stability in you so that when hard times really do come, it doesn't matter anymore. What took me out 5 years ago is nothing now. You can come. It's nothing. It's like a. Because you learn strength in the hard times and the difficult times. And you say, okay, wait a minute. This is part of the process. If I want more, I have to be able to take more. Oh, yeah, that's it. That's how it comes. I want promotion. Here you go. Hold it. Hold on. Wait a minute. Wait. It's too heavy. Now hold it. I want promotion. All right. Here's some pain. Pressure. Problems. Hardship. Persecution. Childhood issues. Confusion. Not knowing where to go. Identity issues. All that stuff. But I want promotion. Lack. What else? Struggle. There. That's where God says, that's where I want, because guess what? Now I can get in. And now I can, oh, good, pressure, power, childhood issues, healing, identity crisis, who I am. No, you're my kid. I love you. I've saved you. You're not your mom. You're not your grandmother. No, you're you. Here's a little bit of money. I know you need that. Tithe on that. Be consistent. I want promotion in my finances. Well, you're not even tithing on what I gave you. So how am I going to give you more? Be consistent. Be stable. Work at it. I want more. Keep saying yes to me. That's how it is. What about promotion? Okay? They're going to leave you. They're going to say things about you when they leave. But just so you know, I'm with you. And that's how you think God would operate, right? Or God wouldn't operate, but he does that way. Jesus was promoted above all things and now sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Okay, Jesus, well, born of a virgin, you're going to be tempted beyond all that you think you can bear. You're going to learn what it means to suffer and be like them. Learn what it means to live a depraved life, but at the same time not sin. And by the way, you're going to do this without your deity. You're going to have to rely upon me. You're going to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with me and with man, just like they do. I'm going to give you a seat in front of people. You're going to teach them. But you're going to go into a wilderness where you're going to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights by the devil that you created. And you're going to have to resist him and stand firm in the faith. And if you graduate out of that, I'll release you into your ministry. Oh, and eventually, this is how it works. You're going to have to die for them. Promotion. But don't worry about that. Because in the end, you'll be with me. But you're going to have to rely on me in this process in order for me to get there. Because for the joy that is set before you, you'll endure the cross and despise the shame. But just remember, it's for the joy that was set before you. Because in your natural state of mind, you're not going to want to do that. But know that you are reinstating life back into the world and giving them the chance to have a relationship with me because of your obedience. For you. So that you can stay connected with the supplier. You no longer are separated from him anymore. You are now connected with the supplier. And so every day you get what you need. Let's all stand to our feet if we can. Mike, you can begin to play. Thanks, man. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. What I need for my individual journey. The grace that I need to endure this affliction or this season. The grace that I need to stand in a situation of lack when I know you promised me more. And to wait on me until you find the release to be what you promised. I'm going to give you the grace. But guess what? As you're doing that, I'm building your stability. I'm not necessarily into shortcuts. But I am interested in you being complete, lacking nothing. So I'm going to create in you. Create rooms. That's why it's uncomfortable right now. Because I'm just making more room for me in there. And that means I got to push some stuff out. I'm going to work through your emotions. And don't feel guilty about working through your emotions, by the way, you say, because that's just part of life. You're going to work through your emotions. It's okay. I gave you emotions. You're going to work through them. But I tell you, we're going to work through them, and character is going to be built through that. Let's work through that. I'm not telling you to discard them. We're going to work through it. I'm going to help you in your soundness of mind. The word is going to become reality to you. To where when you hear things like power, love, love and a sound mind, it's not just something that you just hear, but it's something that you walk in. Soundness of mind. Another translation says self-discipline. That's what I want you walking in. I want my kids walking in that type of authority in their life. So that when people look at them, they're changed immediately. When they come in contact with them, there's something different. Life just flows out for them. Just something changes. That's what's supposed to happen as believers. You're supposed to affect change and go into a room, and it's supposed to be different because of what you bring in. Because now, remember, you're supposed to overtake the enemy. You're not supposed to be overtaken. You're supposed to expose the shameful works of darkness. You're not supposed to be exposed. He said, let's deal with it privately so that we don't have to deal with it publicly. Let's get what we need to get so that we can go after what's ours. David wasn't necessarily in the place where God had ultimately wanted him. He was in transition, but he still had a relationship with God, and he was able to connect with God where he still had God's ear. It didn't change David's destiny. It didn't change where he was going. David was still David. Chase him down. Persecute him. God's saying, go after your enemies. Not physically, but go after your enemies. Get up. Do the thing that is opposite of what you're feeling right now. Go after it. I don't want to work out, but I will, because it's going to break off a spirit in your life. Because it was hard and it was difficult. But 40 years later, I'm still here. I was waiting for that moment. Give to me what is mine. When I ask for you to tithe, I'm doing it because it is a blessing for you when you give back to me. I can open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you won't have room enough to contain. God says, if you will just be consistent with me, I'll do some things in your life. Be consistent. What would it look like if everyone was consistent? How God can elevate you from here to another place of freedom in your life. But it's an act of faith. I don't want to do it. Do it anyway. And I promise God will come through for you. Linda Benedetti, we'll talk about it in a couple months. Already restoring back things in her life. Don't take the word of the year lightly. When God says, I want to bring it back, I want to bring it back. And you know the area in your life right now. You know it. God says, that's it. Craig, that's it. I'm telling you right now. I'm not telling you by the Spirit of God, but God says, I already told you. That's it. That's what I want. I'm in debt. I don't care. You tithe anyway. I'm on it because it's a stronghold. And just like God, who sits on that tender area of your life with his foot or his finger, it's the same way when it comes in the body of Christ. How when the body of Christ is strong, anything is possible. But we are only as strong as our weakest link. if we've got four legs and three are strong, guess what? It's going to be tough. That fourth leg eventually is going to give out, and you're going to fall. So I am challenging you, and I did challenge you last week when we talked about our 90-day challenge. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. Those four. And to get after it. Because that's what, immediately after I preached that message, something came up that week, immediately. I know I'm going toward that. But you know why? Because once you hear it, you're going to be presented with an opportunity, and you're going to have a choice, and that choice is going to be, okay, what did he say? Stand back and wait for it. Or pursue it. Go after it. Oh, that's the thing I don't want to do. I'm telling you, that's how you counteract it. I'm going along today. I feel the Spirit of God. It's okay. Because here's the deal. And I will close. David is about to face, years back, David is about to face Goliath. He's got his stones. Goliath is yelling out his chants. The Bible said David ran to meet him. He didn't wait for him to approach. He said, no, today's the day. He ran. All the stuff I've been using, the skill I've been learning, the stuff that God took me through, today's the day. You are nothing for me. I'm going to take what I learned and my skill, and I'm going to boom. But he ran toward him. How many of us see it? I'm out. No, that's too painful, man. I'm out. Hold on. See ya. That's too painful for me, man. I'm out. Nah, I can't do it. Wait a minute. You want me to stay in the marriage? No. No way. You don't know me, man. I'm out. It's what we do. We lapse with God. I'm out. And all the while you're doing that, God's saying, all right, I'm going to keep bringing you back to the same thing. I want you to stay in the marriage. No, I'm not doing it. And eventually you get it. Okay, I'll stay. Or eventually God says, all right, listen. All right, I want you to stand up to that thing and declare my goodness in the middle of it, that you will see restoration in your life financially, that you will see restoration in your life physically. I keep going up. I don't see it. Keep speaking to it. I want you to keep saying it to it. Keep speaking to it. I don't see it. Well, I just don't see it, Lord. I gave last week. Okay, that's good. Good. Keep doing it. Lord, I don't know. I don't feel better about it, but my attitude about it is changing because all of a sudden my faith level is rising, and it's okay. I can do this. I can slay this giant. Here's my stone. I'm just getting it ready. Whatever it is, go after it. No mercy on it this year. This is what I'm saying. That when the enemy comes in like a flood and tries to challenge your identity, you stand up and say, no, I'm staying right here. I'm looking you right in the eyes. It doesn't matter. I am a son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It does not matter what it looks like. God said, I can have it. I'm going to have it. He's going to restore back to me everything that the cankerworm, the palmer ear has stolen, that he will restore the joy of myself. But he was going to restore it. I'm going to stay right here until you don't like it no more. And I'm going to stay right here. Oh, and you know what? I'm going to do also this. I'm going to praise in the midst of it when it's difficult, because I know it aggravates you, so I want you to see it. I'm going to persecute you. My fear is rising up again. Hold on. God doesn't give me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. But also at the same time, I know that I have to confront this. I got to confront it. So the way I confront it is by speaking to it and walking through it. That's how it works. And God says, come here, Sean. I love you. Come here. God says, that's how we're going to do it. I'm going to push you toward it. And you're going to try to back up on me, but I'm stronger. I'm going to face you. No, you're stronger than me right now. But yeah, okay. But listen, but I'm saying God is. Just get that in your head, okay? God said, I'm stronger. And before you know it, you begin to change. Your emotions change. You start to feel again. Some of you haven't felt in a while. You start to feel again. You start to see again. God begins to restore your sight because you know that he's always been there the whole time. But because of whatever reason in your life, it's been cloudy. God begins to lift some of those clouds, and you can see that he's been there and that he's there. Oh, I can. As I'm doing it, guess what? He's doing it with me. Do you know every time David went to do his sword, guess what God was doing? Because that's what he does. He's the supplier. You're not going to do it by yourself. You can't, but we're going to do it together. That's the beauty of it. Let's go after it together and see what happens. Let's fight it. God's into that stuff. You got to have that mentality that says, okay, let's just go it. Let's just do it. I don't know what it looks like, but I'm going to start walking, Lord. Help me in it. You're struggling, but it's good for me. God wants to bring you to another level if you'll just engage in it. Father, we thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for restoration and life. Thank you, God, for bringing stability back in your people today. How many of you say right now, show of hands, you don't have to look at me, you're going to show it up, that I feel like God's just trying to, he's digging in deeper in my life right now, just digging in, trying to get through some stuff. So listen, I want to get in there because I want to create a stronger foundation that's there where you understand that I'm the source. I'm the foundation. And that when you begin to understand that, guess what? It's like being built on a rock. And when the winds and the waves come, you're not going to be swayed, but because you have a strong foundation. I want to build a foundation so that when things come into your life, that you're stable, that it doesn't bother you as much anymore because you've learned what it is to stand in the midst of difficulty and hardship. And you know what it is to praise through tears. And you know what it is to cry and want. And you know what it is to want to intercede. And you know what it is to want to be blessed. And you know what it is to want more in your life. And you're struggling and you're crying. You know what it is. And you learn how to handle it under pressure. And you knew what it was like to be uncomfortable. All the stuff that I asked my son to go through. You're learning what that looks like. And guess what? I'm going to begin to raise you up by my spirit. But I'm going to do it little by little. I'm going to restore it back little by little. So you understand that I am the foundation. Stable. And when people look at you, they say, it's something different, man. I'm the rock, but I'm going to make you strong. Father, I thank you for your people here today as they surrender to you this year. For consistency in their walk. That their emotions would come in line with what your spirit is saying. Thank you, God, for your unconditional love, how you enable us to process through our emotions and you still love us. But God, help us to get past those childish things in our life so that we can begin to really accept and receive what you have for us and move forward by faith, so that we can receive because we know that it's already done. And God, you've asked us to be on the offensive, and I pray that you would help us to pursue health. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially, and do the things that you're asking us to do, no matter what it looks like, because we know that you're faithful and that your heart toward us is for good. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give God a praise offering in this place.